Blog Talk Radio.
Thank you, Jesus. I pray for you. I pray for you. I'm going to use your story. I want to be free right now. Open your mouth and begin to tell the Lord. I want to be free right now. Tell the Lord. I'm ready to be delivered right now. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Open your mouth and tell him. God, I give you every failure. God, I give you every secret in my life. God, I give you every hidden thing. I'm ready. Shake it off of me. Deliver me in my secret that I might be free. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Somebody pray. 30 more seconds. 30 more seconds. He's breaking it off of you. He's changing your appetite. He's changing your desire. Somebody clap your hands for these people. Somebody's getting free. We break the cords. We break the cords of wickedness. We break the cords of your bondage. Woman, be free. Woman, be free. Woman, be delivered.
Finally free. Chains are gone. Got a new
way. This is Love Talk Radio. I believe that we are live. We are here at Ravens for Christ. We are definitely doing the thing. So we just love you today. Thank you for tuning in. It is July 11th, 2015. And we are here at Ravens for Christ doing our thing. And so it's just wonderful to be here with you. And sharing this moment and everything that God is doing. So I pray that you can hear me live. Okay, in full effect. And we are just here. So we're going to get the attention of the audience. We got some interviews and some information. And so we're going to try different things to give us some sound quality.
Amen. How's everybody doing? All right. I want to make sure that we got action and that we are live. We are doing Blog Talk Radio. We are definitely live here in Labor for Christ in the beautiful city of Chicago, Illinois. And so we have some interviews scheduled, and we just want to kind of do a sexual relational healing retreat infomercial. And so we're going to have some information about the upcoming retreat that's going to occur this November 19th through the 22nd. And then it will be held at the Hyatt Regency Old Pier in Rosemont, Illinois. This is our 2015 conference rate. It is actually for first-time participants, it is $50 for that whole weekend, that Friday, Saturday. $50 for first-time participants. And for returning participants, I believe that it is $50 per night.
I want to make sure that you understand that the conference is free. And so it is free. This is just for those individuals who need a hotel accommodation. And so if you are local and you feel like, hey, I want to go hang out at the retreat, but I really don't want to stay on site, that's fine. It is free. You just need to register, and you need to do that by going to www.laborers.com. And that has to do with -4-christ.org. So that's LAMEORCHRIST.org. And so we are just so excited about that. I got my wonderful co-host with me, my wife, my life partner, Pastor Tang.
Yes, I just wanted to go in and make a correction about the $50. I think the $50 per night per person is based on qua occupancy. So here again, if you need any more information, we just encourage you to go online and register now. You can pre-register now. You can go to registration at labor-4-christ.org. Again, you can register at registration at laborers. That's labor-4-christ.org.
If you need any other information,
you can submit information to our post office box, which is post office box 2081, Madison, Illinois, 60443. Again, it's post office box 2081, Madison, Illinois, 60443. And if you would like to call, you can call 773-779-2900.
I just wanted to interject.
that I got corrected by my wife online, live, in front of the whole universe. Thank you, honey.
You're welcome.
Never put your name, who you are, just shout out with a correction. Thank you, God.
You had already introduced me, so I did not think that I need to further introduce myself.
This is what the sexual relationship is. It will allow you
freedom.
The seminars were amazing. After the diversity retreat, I was told that I had to not only go to the next one if there would be one, but I had to go to the church.
Okay, but let us go back a little bit when you said that the seminars are amazing. Could you remember one particular seminar that stood out that really helped you with your relationship with your sister and brothers? Because we're talking about sexual relational healing retreat. And I know that for the first time when I heard sexual relational healing retreat, I said that that wasn't my problem. I'm a good girl. I have one person. But my eyes were open, you know, to say that, no, it's not always, it's not only about you're stuck sexually, but relationally, you know, how our relationship with God first, being with others, you know, we think that we always have this relationship down pat, but when you go to this sexual relationship retreat, your eyes come wide open as to, no, you need some work in this area. So could you speak about one seminar you went to that really started mending your relationship not only with God, but also with your siblings?
And she said,
"Okay, you might not be able to remember the title of the retreat, or I mean, the seminar. But could you talk about the healing that came through? Because remember, the theme is will not be made whole. So, what is it that started bringing healing to those thoughts that were?" Broken and your pieces of your heart being broken, you being broken. What was it that started bringing healing?
I think for me, it was I remember distinctly this particular workshop, and it was about the demise. It had to do with demonic strongholds, generational curses. And you know, when I look at my family and some consistent things, relationally, nobody was getting married, a lot of different, out of wedlock, nobody, there was alcohol, and there was just a lot of behaviors that was just, I thought, generation to generation. So when I went to this class, I actually experienced a demonic experience, but I experienced a deliverance, definitely, after they began to pray and minister to the individual, their whole demeanor changed, they looked differently, it was I don't want to hear anybody, but there was older in the room that was just, whoa, what's going on here? And so I learned about deliverance that I really didn't know. So after that, I had to go to church, because that was just so healing and hope giving. I saw them being delivered, I knew that something that was going on in my family could be stopped, halted, they could be needed. So just to talk about the story, as a result of me going to the church, which was a surprising thing, because this is a very small ministry, and you do awesome work in the body of Christ. I went to the ministry during this time, they had, they were asking for prayer for someone. You know, if anybody had prayer for anything, just, you know, put their name down on the list, and we would pray for them. So I said, yeah, right.
coming through
to receive the ministry of the Holy Spirit and to participate in the worship service and in the worship. It's just a little sad, but I'm excited because this is all God's doing. So we know whatever direction he's taking us in, it's just going to be glorious.
Amen. Thank you, Minister Lynette, for that testimonial and coming up here, sharing with us and the rest of the body in regards to the experience that the sexual relationship that she had on you, especially in the area of family. Let me say this about the sexual relationship. First of all, we're going to probably need to redefine sexual. Sexual isn't just you having intimate sex with somebody. But sexual is that God created you a man or a male, as Genesis would say, or female. And there are some attacks from even inception, birth, even in the womb, that will try to stop and alter the destiny that God has predestined in your life. And based on his foreknowledge, he is able to put some things in place, like this retreat, that kind of help.
And that's what I was saying. I had no knowledge of what the meaning of sexual meant. When I first heard sexual, that's all I thought about. It went straight to just that.
Right.
But when you come to the sexual relationship healing retreat, you learn so much more. It's just not the physical act of sex. It's just teaching you how to be a woman or how to be a man and what the Bible states of how you're supposed to keep that sacred, and then it teaches you so much about yourself, about the different soul ties or the different people you may have been connected to. And it's not sexual. It's a non-sexual soul tie that can happen that you can make another person your God, because they've done so much for you, And that person has not come to in your life to say that they're your God, but you meaning me or the individual person worship that person so much because of their relationship with God that you stop seeing God and just stop worshiping that person, and that's a dangerous place to be at.
Amen.
So you're right.
And there was a class that existed was a fall intimate. One of the very first classes that was given at the retreat. And that class addressed the issues that you're speaking of that allows us to see ourselves in the true mirror because we are multifaceted and we don't often separate ourselves from something and say, well, that's not me. But then to have the mirror of a false intimacy reflect who I am and what I have done. What have I been intimate with that was a false sense of satisfaction because the true sense is Christ. And so I think that for me, the first time I heard the title, and I know the title was God given to the apostle and the visionary for a very specific reason. And I think that what it does is open our eyes. We had scales on our eyes, and we did not see clearly who we were. And he was addressing us according to how he created us. And so as a result, we were created to be intimate. But we have become intimately deceived by so many other examples and things out there drew us away from true intimacy. And I think that that's one of the things that affected me the most was just that class and the name of the retreat, because though you would run from it or separate yourself mentally from it, once you got on one side, then he immediately revealed you in this sexual relational need of healing. And when you're exposed like that, it sometimes the retreat became a very volatile place
where a lot of emotions, a lot of things were being exposed that people just didn't know existed in them from the years of sitting on a pew and not having that area of their life touched. It had been secretly hidden. And so once the light shone on it, it first of all was offensive, and then you get it defensive, and then you just become messed up. And so God has such a perfect way of expressing himself to his children and revealing himself to his children, and he knew that we would have that type of response to the training that, and the teaching that was going to be going on in the workshop. And that leads to the area that he gave me through the apostle to bring to the retreat, which is the seven wonders. He knew that in that kind of setting, with hundreds of people being exposed, naked, and ashamed, and fearful, and angry, that they would need a place aside from workshop places and all the other areas of ministries that were going on, that would be individual one-on-one with him. He knew that once this exposure took place, that only his healing touch would help deliver them to the next step that he had for them. And so as a result, he instructed the apostle to build a place for him to meet his people on an individual basis so that he can bring the healing touch to their lives that they needed. And that's when the development of the seven wonders was birthed. It was birthed in a time of great need by the people, the leaders, as well as the participants, because there were times at the retreat that the leaders themselves were met with this need for healing. The retreat meetings and the CPI training is all in place to prepare leaders to facilitate and to minister in this type of environment. But God, in his wisdom, knew that we needed something that man could not give us. And that was the place where he would come in and personally minister to each person that came, that he grew, actually, to his place. And this place was a place that was sanctified in him, and it was based on seven principles that he wanted to communicate to the group that he had drawn there to the different hotels. And he literally drew people. Some people didn't know why they were there, or some people came under one mindset, and it wasn't set. So God didn't give it up. But he did not fall short on delivering for them. And so in the wonders, there's a place where individuals were able to sit in the presence of God and receive a touch, a physical touch from the Lord in those areas where that had been wounded, that had been bleeding, that had been empty, that had been hidden, and that had been painful. And he brought healing and deliverance on a one-on-one basis to allow people to then go forward to the other workshop, and then the ground had been prepared of their heart and their soul and their spirit and their mind, so that they could receive the healing and the ministry and the teaching that was needed for them to go forth from that place. It was often, once the retreat was over, and it generally, for those that worked the retreat, lasted for 5 days. And at the end of the fifth day, when everything packed up and you're leaving and you would go outside the hotel door, it was like a whole other world. It was like you had been drawn from one place, and now it's like reality hits you in the face. And it's like, okay. You know? And so he always did this. He always made sure that there was something there for you to take with you when you left, to be a memorial of your time together, so that no matter where you were and when you were and what you were experiencing from one year to the next, you could look at that token and remember your personal present time, if you will, walking through the Garden of Eden, present of the Lord, because that was the kind of experience it is. And so even when we were then, like call and he us call. Peter was on the mountain. Well, you know what? Let's just build a ship in and not go down.
Right.
You know, but we have to go down. And yet when we do go down, we're able to take within us, you know, those experiences and that building that had happened while we were on the mountain.
It's something interesting that you said about a token. I mean, you said a lot of wonderful things about the seven wonders in the world. And just to let people who are not familiar with the seven wonders, this is another aspect of the retreat. I don't want to describe it and dumb it down as a prayer room, because it's really more than that. It's really that Garden of Eden. And it was one particular year I got a token. My token was a silver heart, which found he's given me a silver heart. And if I tell you the story behind it, I was upset. You know, I go to the retreat, and I got to a place where I stopped going to the retreat because I'm going to the retreat with the mindset of receiving something because I was always at the altar. Laboring, if you will. And it was one time I went to a prophetic utterance service and I wanted something for me. And they talked about come up here and assist. And so I'm heated. You know, I don't care who fell out at that moment. You hit your head. And, I mean, that was my. Because I was just in a rough place. I was just like, oh, I gotta catch somebody. You didn't miss half the word. So I was so mad, and I went straight to the seven ones of the word just to get that anger out. That was the area of deliverance that needed to take place with me. And thank God my wife was next in line, and I just jumped in front of her. I went in there, and I was so angry, and I was just like, Lord, you know, I came here this year because I really need something for me. And I lied to you not, the Lord was like, oh, what's the matter? And I was like, you know, this ain't funny. Don't be cracking jokes. You know, this isn't funny. I really need, and I'm missing this point. He's talking to me. And I'm so caught up in my stinky attitude that I'm missing the fact I'm having an encounter with the Most High God.
Face to face.
Face to face.
Face to face.
And I'm so busy worried about I had to help somebody get their deliverance. And after he showed me the heart, you know, it was just a sign to me that how dare. Not how dare, this is the wrong word, but how dare I am to his heart as well as others. And he wanted me to remind that in that one instant. I just always remember that and never forget my experience in the seven wonders of the word. It's like going to the Holy Land at the hotel. It's like being at the Garden of Eden at the hotel. It's like heaven at the hotel, that he is there hitting you face to face with a lot of issues. And actually, Overseer Paulette is the reason why I ended up at the retreat. I had just started coming to this church, this ministry. I got here by the fall, and I won't share that story. But I got here, and Elder Virginia, my father, he said, son, go somewhere and go get fed. Stay there. Be a part of the ministry. When God tells you to move, move. And so I came back here to Labor for Christ, and they were like, oh, we got this sexual relational tree. Now I'm about 26. Well, I'm thinking, oh, y'all trying to hook me up some bull right now.
What are you going to do? Help me, radio?
Yeah, because after I figured out how this life stuff works, I try to get back with my wife now. And I asked her if she wanted to get back together. And at that time, in 2001, in the car by the lake, she said, oh, I'm with somebody. And so I was like, oh, heart crush. And that was my decision was, nothing else. Yeah, me and Virginia, we need to go up there to Chicago, go get my life started. And so my mind was just all over the place. And my first experience at the retreat was I sat in one class after I got there, and I was blessed to hear the visionary teach the majority of the class, the visionary apostles, Dr. Shawna Horton. So she taught all the classes, and she brought a perspective to me that let me know what the body of Christ needs as the man of God. And I think receiving it from this vessel made a major shift as well as an impact on what I am to do in the body of Christ.
As a male. As a male.
In the body of Christ. How the responsibility in my family, in my job, at home, holistically. And the fact that I could hear God breathing on me was probably like, oh, my God, what is happening at this moment? Now, after the retreat, I couldn't tell you what changed, but I tell you something changed.
Amen.
Something changed. I didn't look at women the same way. Wasn't lusting after them. I saw them. I began to see them as my sisters. I began to see men as my brothers. And it just, you know, I can't explain it, but I just knew something changed. And I was like, what in the world has happened to me? And this was in 2003. So,
amen.
You know, so I mean, there's so many components of this retreat that are just so wonderful. I just want to run down some of the names of the retreats that we have had over the years. I think 1999 was, I didn't have an IRB there, but that was considered the first retreat. And the theme of that was, Will Thou Be Made Whole? 2000, again, was Will Thou Be Made Whole? 2001, the third year, Will Thou Be Made Whole? The fourth year, I believe, A Time of Healing and Restoration, I believe that was 2003. No? A time of healing and restoration.
You get it right.
Because that's why she remembered 2003 and the rain, because that's the year when she received her deliverance and healing.
And every retreat, everything stands out to different people because different things happen at that point in time at that retreat.
Broken pieces, and I thirst.
and restored by fire. The breakthrough. Live the breaking of dawn. Go and sin no more. Forgiven. The cost of redemption. Finally, unquestionably free. Love covers the crossroads and this year. Stand and endure and overcome.
Amen.
And then there were other sub retreats as well in between, not only in regards to the small in nature. They were big, like in Toledo and Florida and Cleveland, Ohio, even in Vegas. Let me tell you how big this retreat is. Overseer Poston and Pastor Walter Poston, they have started a branch of the ministry, an arm of the ministry out in Las Vegas, Nevada, and a sexual relational healing ministry was held in the jailhouse.
Amen.
Amen.
And this year, and,
you know, that's the state recognized the power of ministry and gave them the approval to have you in behind the wall, behind the bars of a prison for the sexual relations.
So that is just powerful in itself. I think we want to definitely move forward with another interview with Overseer Poston hanging out with us. She's going to definitely be interjecting because she's a vital part of this wonderful ministry as well as seeing the birth and the growth of this relational, sexual relational healing retreat. And so she's hanging out with us.
I just want to ask a question about another part of the wonders. I know that God downloaded the seven wonders to apostles, as well as another aspect that connected to the wonders that was never there initially when it started in 2003, which was the waiting room.
Yes.
So could you expound on the waiting room?
The waiting room was brought into life based on the needs of the people to even be prepared before they went into the one. And one of the laborers received the downward vision from the Lord. We need a room of preparation where people go to wait before they can go into one. And then it became a ministry in and of itself. Because in that area where they get their feet washed, they have opportunity for taking communion, the meal is healed, and they're ministered to. They hear the audio presentation of what the room is about and the theme of the room. And so at the waiting room, it became, as I said, a place of ministry opportunity as well. And it then was the Lord wanted us to understand that we were waiters. And so we were serving those that he had been to come into the wonder. And so as they were prepared and as their feet were washed and they were in the box, and then they were ushered into the seven wonders by the ministers of the waiting room. And so as I said, the waiting room had come. A ministry in itself, where a lot of the baggage that we have, we're able to leave it there, because then you go right into the presence of the Lord. And so it didn't take long to understand that that was one of the needs that was necessary. And so just as before you go into the presence of royalty, you prepare yourself. And you shake off that, which is would be defilement to your to the host, and you present yourself as with a sacrifice in his presence. So he is will be done. our expectations. Sometimes we go into stuff expecting a certain thing. And he didn't want us to have our expectations because they're so limited. And he does not want us to limit what he intends to do for us. But rather, he wants us to come as an empty vessel so that he can fill us to overflowing with his greatness because his thoughts are not our thoughts. And he is so much higher than us. And sometimes we have to prepare all of us. We have to prepare ourselves before we go into the presence.
Amen. So that's the waiting room, which is another arm of the sexual relational healing retreat, as well as the seven wonders in the word. So it's just kind of like God just keeps expanding himself, just within himself, right there before your eye. It's not like we're going to wait in the room first and then go to
no. You may get what you need right in the waiting room.
Yeah, you think that's where he'll meet you.
Right.
And that's why I think you were saying how you know, like, why would I do this? There are people that have come and they've tried to go in and they've given the opportunity to go in and they come right back out with them and they don't come in. And so definitely isn't just something you want to go in, not like a workshop, too. I want to find out this. You can sign, you have to sign. But you also have to be bid to be invited in the presence of God.
Right.
So it is not a normal aspect of taking commerce that you might feel inclined for.
Right. Which is why it's a retreat, because it's really intimate. There's a difference between the conference and the retreat. And so, you know, when you're at the retreat, it's really more intimate, it's more involved. There is counseling going on. There is worship warriors going on. There is prayer going on. There is power empowerment zones going on. There's even youth and young adult sessions going on. Intercessory prayer, professional HIV, STD testing, there's a cutting covenant ceremony that is there. It's just accountability, panel discussions,
prayer room.
I mean,
and the prayer warriors and the worship warriors. And
there is something there for everybody, even though we do know that everybody may not, it's a retreat may not be for everybody.
And when I was saying about prayer warriors, that's when someone is in a prayer room, one of our intercessors or a couple of the ancestors there in the prayer room just praying while the retreat is going on.
Right.
Covering the whole retreat and covering everyone in prayer because so much of healing and deliverance that goes on there. They're standing there just praying and sending prayers up to the Most High God.
Amen. So let's jump up to the next interview. And so here we have...
So here we have today is Minister Pat Wright, and I would have you introduce yourself, Minister Wright, and if you could just talk about the retreat and how it's been going to the retreat. I've been going to the retreat ever since 2002. My son and I, the retreat has been such an inspiration. It has helped me to grow and mature in level of areas where I came wounded, depressed, oppressed, not sure of love. And one of the most where my healing began was when I showed one of my friends, and I feel the love of God just wrapping his arms around me and just holding me there. And I was more concerned about getting out so someone else can come in, and he just wrapped his arms. And I even though
But that was the love that he had for me. And I mean, it was so real. And I knew he was there. So those were the questions I had before. And all the questions I had to ask and him, he asked. So the one that and it started, not just from the one that began the way from the reunion to my football life. And for someone to remind me, it grows. Like, wow.
You know?
And from there, to go into the room, the world of wonder, it was just everything I imagined. And even like, and in the end, I was able to grab the banner. And to me, it was the first time I really worshiped it. And it was the most amazing experience of my life.
Yeah.
And so even that the retreat is going to end, I think it's bittersweet. However, I look at it as a new beginning. It was a healing for us, and with everything else that God's going to do. I know it has changed our life, all of my son's life, and I know that even this year, he will want to come to the heart to help now with the retreat. So I think it has played a major part in growth, maturity, letting me realize that I'm loved and fully pleased and accepted and forgiven in the Lord's sight, and that I can move past this shame and
And how old was your son when you first came here to the retreat?
Oh, wow. He's a young man, and that. It says a child should lead you. He led me
Amen. And that's the point that I was trying to bring home is that here at the retreat, it is for everyone, from the babies on up. And I want Bishop to elaborate on the youth portion of the retreat.
Okay. My understanding of how the youth portion came thank you, Ms. Wright, because I think they said her son was 7 or 8 at the time,
yes.
So a child led her to this ministry. And so you have this retreat, and you have a lot of adults that were coming. And because of the population that was coming, because the minister to all over Illinois, we're talking shelters, we're talking, you name a place, they were at the retreat. You name it, you can think it, they were at the retreat. But what happened was some of the individuals, they didn't have babysitters for that weekend. And so you had these youth just kind of running around this place, if you will, as the parents were getting delivered, healed, and being made whole. And so, right at that moment, again, God took the opportunity to just begin creating another aspect of himself right there at the tree. The youth portion of the tree was birthed, just kind of a place where the youth can hang out. But we also come to discover that some of the issues that the adults were facing, And oftentimes young people aren't given the window or the opportunity to really be able to talk about those issues. And let's call it out. We're talking sexual abuse. We're talking incest. We're talking name something.
Anger, hatred, resentment, depression.
Almost the same-sex relationship, and just kind of wanting answers and questions, dating married men, and young people. And it's just like, wait, how old are you? Or they're involved with gangs or not involved with gangs, but because their parents are generals within the gang, that street life is just kind of been placed upon them. And so having this outlet, this place, to be able to speak about that and share their heart, is what the youth portion provides, whereas we take the same stance as the retreat and we just catch these young people where they're at and just minister to them and let the Holy Spirit do it. And you know that portion of the youth retreat. And we're talking 0 to 23.
To give you a God's eye view of your life,
and what your relationship to life should be because of what's in the W-O-R-D. Didn't read my book.
I threw that in there.
That's what they may want to check out when you get the digital
script.
Did you read my book? And so that is where the terminology for workshop came from. And facilitate as opposed to a teacher or, you know, this is my class or you are a person that facilitates. And that means that the version of that facilitator to observe you in your class, to hear what the Spirit is saying as it relates to you, to make recommendations for you, to if you need to go to another area of a retreat or continuing healing, that is what that facilitator is doing. That facilitator is looking over that class, that group of people, that ministry setting, and making an assessment and making sure that what that each individual, each participant that comes through those doors are receiving everything they need. If you need an accountability card, if you need counseling, if they can sail through the time that you're with in the workshop, that you need to speak to someone medically, whether it's mentally, medically, or physically medically. That's what that facilitating is doing. And so the job of a teacher doesn't fit. The ministry of facilitator.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you so much.
It was a good
poem.
We have a.
Oh, okay.
Amen.
All right.
Okay. We have another guest with us today who would like to speak about retreating and how it has blessed her life.
Hi, my name is Amanda Delina, and I have been coming to the retreat since 2003, and it has been awesome. It was an interesting journey from 2003 to 2015, but one thing that I truly enjoyed was the workshop. It took me a while to get used to the workshop as opposed to workshop. Even though we
weren't
in the way.
but
the
weird neighbor.
The first class I remember facilitating was a class called Emotional Deprivation. But the class blew me away because the Bible says, first the bearer, then the hearer. And as I started preparing for emotional deprivation, and realized what it was, I'm like, oh, my God, I've been emotionally deprived all my life, and I didn't know it. And it was an area that was pointed out to me once I got here. And then I got to know this is a trend after that. Every year I would get some class to facilitate to work on my own life. And then I was like, oh, God, that has been interesting to you. You said You don't heal yourself, but then you heal God's self.
I can say, yeah, there's still some areas in emotions that I'm working on, but I truly not the same as I was before. And you can see a big smile on her face as she said, I'm truly not the same from the first time I came here up to now. Amen. And she definitely made reference to that, you know, all the time facilitators are giving certain things to workshop, and you'd be like, okay, that is exactly where I'm at. What am I supposed to say? You find God, another aspect of himself, just working on you right at that moment through your study, through your preparation, as well as your delivery. I mean, there's just so much and so many things are happening all at once. I've never heard anything like a sexual relationship in the tree. So, I mean, I guess I've never been to a retreat, so this has introduced me to how intimate God really desires to be with his people.
Amen.
You just got to, you got to submit to the process and trust his process.
And, Ms. Linda, not only being a facilitator at the Sexual Relations and Healing Retreat, there are some other areas in which God has had you to, or you need an opportunity to work at the retreat. Such as preparation for the wonders.
Yes.
In the waiting room. Could you explain how that experience was just the preparation of it, for preparing those rooms, how it ministered to you while you were preparing it?
Preparing for the Seven Wonders, which I had never heard of the Seven Wonders. I knew it was something associated with the Bible, but it was like, wow, you can see the Bible reading out. And then see how it came about. Because the Seven Wonders have seven stations every year.
And so it is then it is sealed by the apostle, prophet, and the elder of Israel.
And let me say that in preparation for this retreat, it's just not a, hey, let's just put this retreat together. This is a process that begins at the beginning of the year. So every second Saturday at 1750 West 103rd in Chicago, Illinois, at 10 a.m., we are meeting. Matter of fact, it's a retreat meeting now, and we meet, and we plan, and we pray, and possibly she pours into. There's an ongoing year-long preparation that occurs throughout the year, and Thursday is a fast day for the retreat. And so, and it's not just people working at the retreat. Everyone is strained. Let me say that again. Everyone is strained, not because we don't trust people's anointing, but there is some aspect at this retreat that if you are not spiritually prepared, this thing will take you out. You know, it's really that deep, or something will jump on you. So it's just not people coming in and facilitating. They have to go through the process. They have to get interviews. They have to fill out a questionnaire that we have on our website, a relational questionnaire, a sexual questionnaire. I mean, there is a process. And so if you're willing to go through that process, definitely, it's cleansing. You are welcome to be a part of this retreat. I know we got like 10 minutes left. 13 minutes, and we got a wonderful woman around here as well.
We would like to welcome Sister Lucille. We would let Sister Lucille introduce herself in her own way.
Praise God. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Of course, Sister Lucille.
Okay, and Sister Lucia, how long have you been with us at the retreat? Since the start of the Bowman Center. Amen. From the beginning. And when she said at the Bowman Center, the retreat was not always held at the hotel. It was held at the
actual retreat center.
Here in Chicago.
No amenities.
None. No, you didn't have TV. You know, you had. It was almost like a dorm room setting where you had to bring your sheets, your towels, and everything.
But you have nothing else to do
but to concentrate on God and go to the retreats and the workshop. You know, and give what God has for you, and that's what the deliverance took place.
Amen.
Lucille, we know that you have worked with different aspects of the retreat for so many years. But there is one part of the retreat that you also work in, which is intercessory, as a prayer warrior. Could you tell us a little bit about that?
Well, before the retreat, we all pray. Yeah, you're supposed to have a prayer life, a sacred life before God. And so when the retreat started, Pastor Shanetta, she appointed me as one of the intercessors for her, and I was recording the retreat in the prayer work. But she didn't know anything about, you know, my prayer life. But the Holy Spirit revealed my prayer life to her. Because of something I was doing in my country as a young child coming up with prayer warriors and intercessors. So the Lord just revealed that to her, and she asked me to be one of the prayer intercessors for her, and also for the truth. I pray every day, you know, for the world as an intercessor. People would pray for leaders. Everybody else is a
person.
And
I was given
that
a time
from the Lord,
through,
you know, people that
lead us over
me.
What do you want others to know about this retreat?
Well, I would like people to know that it's very spiritual. And when you come
you've got to get something out of the retreat. So when you hear the name of sexual healing, the first thing comes to your mind, thing is a sexual. But that's not the thing. It teaches you how to carry yourself if you're a woman or if you're a man, how you're supposed to live a spiritual life before God and the world to see the God in you.
Yeah. Amen.
I mean, and okay.
What would you like to know?
Yeah.
What do you want the people to know? What do you want to tell them? Because you've been here since the bone. So.
Well, since I came here, my spiritual and natural life has completely changed.
Wow.
These things that were in my life, after coming to the retreat, I couldn't continue to hold on to those things that were ungodly, You can stay these days and live in my life.
So then we have to ask you this question then.
How do you feel about this being the last annual sexual healing retreat held in Chicago?
Well, it's kind of sad that it's, leaving out of Chicago, but I know God always makes a way, whether we have to go someplace else, God will make a way for me to get there.
Amen.
We got that, right?
I just wanted to share the fact that, Sister Steele brought up a very good point that it's not denominationally limited.
Right.
It is open to everybody. I don't think there's a denomination that is not represented at the retreat. And it is not honored or honored. But it is all the word of God.
Right.
And the kingdom of the Most High. And I think that's what honors
God, and the people come together, and we're seeing from Him, which is why we present Himself so much there, because we go outside of boundaries and limitations, and we get more. So let me throw this in. So we asked this question in a very particular way. So it's about the last annual in the retreat. So what's next? God has the apostles, the birth now of the healing clinic. And so the sexual healing retreat slash all conference slash all one day workshop will be on the road. We will not be stabilized in one place anymore. If you want to invite this ministry to come down. We will definitely, if you want to host a sexual relationship conference or one day workshop or something in regards to this ministry, you have that opportunity beginning in 2016 to be able to do that. We're planning to go to places such as Seattle, Washington, Orlando, Florida, Philadelphia, Cleveland, Savannah, Virginia, the Philippines, India, we got a church in Africa, Dallas, the 50 states, another country, we're going to go to healing clinics to be able to come back with the enemy trying to birth So we just thank God. So it's expanding. It's expanding. We're just moving. We're a church on the move with the move of God. Any closing doors?
Well, one of the things that made me have given enough airtime to was the cut.
Oh, okay.
Which is the culmination of the weekend in a most worshipful service where we are the bride of Christ and we are announced as feet of water, hands of water, and we show fire blow and we march down the aisle. You have your ring of dedication. You receive this training, you receive this freedom, you receive this new life, and at the beginning of this new life, you recommit and make a commitment to be the Holy Bride of Christ that He requires us to be. Surrendering ourselves to Him, people who are aware of any, you know, you can dress up just like you want to go on your wedding. And it is a very beautiful, wonderful service. Where we surrender and we get our rings, and we see people with covenant rings, and those rings are blessed, and those rings are placed on our finger as we in partake of the worshipful ministry of Reverend Pat Gary from Iowa, and she comes with the banner and the praise banner, and it is a most memorable service. And it is just breathtakingly beautiful to see whether there are little children, they're given the meaning of dedication and of being sealed for the kingdom of God, and they're given pins, and it's just a beautiful ceremony, a wedding ceremony. It's a wedding ceremony for the bride of Christ after we have been in his feet and done him as we receive and as we receive the touch of the Father on our life, and as the Holy Spirit has sealed and empowered us to live a sanctified, holy life before a dying world, so that they will know the truth and the living God as they keep our lives unfold in His word.
All right, that is almost concluding our part on today. I just want to thank Apostle Sean at Hawk for allowing us to be in service with you all today. Isaac and myself, we would like to thank everyone who have come and spoken about the retreat, Overseer Paulette, Thornton, Minister Pat Wright, Sister Lynette Harris, Sister Linda, and Minister Linda and Sister Lucia. So we thank everyone. So I just want to also announce again, this year's retreat theme is Stand, Endure, Overcome, Labor for Christ, Ministries, Sexual Relational Healing Retreat, Will God Be Made Whole, November 19th through the 22nd, 2015. You have the right to pre-register now. This entire retreat is free. The Eclipsical Gathering is Thursday. And that is for pastors, bishops, apostles, prophets, ministers, that Thursday. We have worship service, workshop, Sabbath ones in the Word, deliverance interviews, apostolic and prophetic forum, professional HIV and STD testing. And we also have CEUs for those who need continual educational units. And those cost $30 per person. Our conference registration is available at LFC Chicago site or through mail or by email to registration at laborers-4-price.org. Online registration opens May 18th and closes November 8th at midnight. Labor for Christ Ministries, Post Office Box 2081, Madison, Illinois.
And just remember, we're going to continue this conversation, and the next time we do this, we're going to go into deeper depth about each component of the retreat. We just want to get the ball rolling and doing this. So enjoy the ministry of the Holy Spirit, and remember, will thou be made whole?
God bless you.
No, you were great.